Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration, with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader. Inspiration Nation shares inspiration from the world of words and is the place where connection comes from life experience and personal stories. Inspiration Nation Radio is proud to bring you authors, writers, speakers, and leaders from different walks of life to empower and inspire you to live from your best self. Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration. And now, welcome to the show with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader.
Well, welcome everyone to another edition of Inspiration Nation, and I am your host, Teresa Morrow. This week, I have with me a lovely lady who wrote a very humorous, life story-oriented book called How I Earned My Wrinkles, Musings on Marriage, Motherhood, and Menopause by Anne Bardsley. So welcome, Anne, to Inspiration Nation this morning.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay! And as we have spoken beforehand, this is your first radio show, so everybody give her a little whoop whoop.
Very first. Woo hoo! Yeah, baby.
There you go. Your book was just filled with so many things I could relate to. It was the way you wrote it was just like, you know, if I hadn't been there yet, I could still relate in some way, shape, or form, it seemed like.
Yes, all those wrinkles and menopause and all those children things will all be coming.
Yes, well, and those are the things that we're going to be talking about, because one of the things I really enjoyed about your book was it is based on, you know, things that happened in your life, and it was interesting to kind of, you allow the reader to kind of step in your world, as you call it, Anne's world, you know.
Anne's world. Well, you know, a lot of people ask me if they're true stories, and I think I couldn't make these things up. And then I get other people writing,
yes,
I want to move into your neighborhood. We need to be neighbors. So that's what it means. You know, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I want them for neighbors, but it's okay. It's another chapter in a new book. Yeah. So it's very sweet.
Yes.
I like when I get those accolades back. That's nice to hear.
It is, because, I mean, like I said, for me, it was so relatable. I mean, at some parts, when you write something like this, you are allowing the reader, you know, to a glimpse in your life. But it was interesting because it was like, I related so much to it, like I said, and at the same time, you know, there were things that hadn't happened to me or things that I'm not, you know, experiencing. You had five children. I only have one child. I still could relate to some of the things, and we're going to be, you're going to share some of the stories, because it's really beautiful how you did that.
Well, some of the stories I was a little nervous about putting in, like a weighted matter about, you know, how we're supposed to take care of ourselves, and that I got that self-care products for woman guide, and there it was, just in time for my birthday, a vaginal weight set. You know, so I was like, oh, I don't know if I should put that in there, but it is funny.
Right.
You know, it was funny, so I did put it in. And because in my family growing up, we never said anything with the word vaginal. It was all down below. And it was spoken in a very deep voice. I never knew what the heck was down below, but I was afraid to find out because it must be scary. Yes. So, but I did put it in. It is a funny
story. It's interesting. Well, it's interesting, though. Like, you just said something that made me think, like, how you say something to a younger person. How it, like you said, that you didn't know what it was because it was like so mysterious and so, you know, you said in such a deep voice, you were like, oh, you were scared what that was. Well, oh my goodness, isn't that interesting how we can say something to someone and even the tone of our voice can have a resonating effect?
You don't realize. people would say, could you get those pots and pans are down below? And I would go, oh! Like, clamp my knees together, like, oh, don't say that. It was a bad, a very bad memory. I probably should have been in therapy for that, but I never did. I got through with that one.
Right, right.
But you do have to watch what you say to kids.
Yes, yes. The other thing that was in that chapter that resonated with me was you had to, and to me it was maybe a bigger piece of that was you were talking about, were you good enough?
Yeah.
Because of all these self-care products, we're saying, oh, you need to do this and buy this and you'll be you know, better if you have this. And I think that's a huge thing for women that we go through in our lives. Are we good enough?
Yeah, well, you know, I got invited to a rejuvenation seminar, and I was so excited because I'd seen them on TV, and I thought, oh, I could look like I'm 40 again, maybe 30 if I was really lucky. But I asked my husband, I'm like, look, I got invited to this. Just do me a favor and count my wrinkles so I see if I qualify. And I should have never asked him, ever, ever, ever. He counted so many wrinkles on my poor little face, and then he said, well, what about that? I said, they're my laugh lines. They don't count. They're good ones. So, you know, we can have laugh lines. We can have tear lines. I have a lot of laugh lines, but I also have a lot of other lines. But you know what? I'm not getting rid of them, so that's why I decided to just market them and say they're okay. It's part of who I am.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Right?
Right.
Yeah. And I never,
I mean,
you know what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's another part of being a woman. I think that, and I think there's a slogan or a bumper sticker or something out there about wrinkles, like it, about, you know, it tells you the experience that you've had in life.
Yeah.
You know, so don't get rid of them. It, you know,
well, that
it,
explains
it's
other wrinkles when growing.
Well,
but you know,
it's a part of life.
When I meet someone, an older woman or whatever, with wrinkles, I never notice their wrinkles. I notice how I feel talking to them. That's
oh,
what
absolutely.
I know. You know, so it doesn't matter. You know, so a lot of people are horrified that I wrote about wrinkles. At the book fair, some man came up and he said, oh, my God, my wife would never read this. And I was like, what? I said, read number 3 on the back of my book. You might have wrinkles. Yes. And that's where it says you called your gynecologist by mistake to make a dental appointment.
Yes.
And then you told her it was an emergency. You had a large cavity to fill. I mean, you know, that's part of wrinkles and aging and menopause and all of that. And he was like, oh, I'm going to buy this for her for Christmas. So he did, you know. But men are – I have some men who are laughing at it as well as women. It's a good thing.
Well, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I mean, because, you know, they're a part of – growing with that, you know, growing and being a part of it as well, you know. So before we keep going and with the stories and such, I wanted to give our guests an opportunity if you want to join in the conversation and maybe share one of your stories. You guys can call in at 773-897-6387 and talk with Anne and myself and maybe, like I said, share one of your stories.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah, we're just going to have a good old conversation. That's what we're doing.
Okay, sure. You know, one thing I wanted to tell you about men. I just heard this recently. This woman told me, we were joking about, you know, how men are just sometimes are so clueless. And she was paging through my book, and she said, you know, Anne, the thing about men is they're all exactly the same. God just gave them different faces so we know which one is ours. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that funny? I was like, oh, my gosh. It's true.
Oh, my goodness.
They're simple
creatures.
Oh, my
goodness.
They're very simple.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're,
yes.
And we seem to be more complicated, but I think it's because we do have, you know, all of these hats that we wear. You know, we're a wife, we're a mother, we're a sister, we're a friend, we're a,
we're a seductress.
Daughter as well.
Yes.
There you go.
We're a pole dancer.
You know.
We do everything.
Right. Exactly. And we all, and the other thing that you talked about in the book, which, you know, is another subject, is, you know, we want to look good for our men. You know,
in my story, Fluff and Stuff, I told my husband I want to be stuffed after I die because I want to be competition in the bedroom. And I want him to stuff me with something very lightweight so he could carry me from room to room and just pose me. And that way, if he brought women home, they would think, what the hell? and run like hell out of the place. Perfect. And he could dress me. I mean, my God, it's like a perfect thing. It's a woman who doesn't speak. What more can a man want? Perfect.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
no worries.
Right, exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
The other thing I, you like I had mentioned before, five children. Five.
Yeah.
I only have one, and that was a handful for me. And I actually am the youngest of seven.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, you start off the book. I loved how you started off the book. You were like, the one son was doing this one. The daughter's doing this. The other son was doing something else. The husband was doing something else. And then something was going on with the dog or the cat. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And I kept trying to picture this household of yours. And I thought, wow, how in the world did she?
You know, and I look back, like I have three grandkids and I watch my daughters with them. And I think, how in the name of God did I ever do five? I don't know. I guess you're just too busy to even stop and think about it. You know, so you just keep going. But that's why I had to create Anne's World in my head for a place of respite where I could go and just, you know, I could be alone and it was beautiful and I was beautiful there and the house was clean and my legs were toned and tan and I had white teeth and everything was perfect. Why would I ever want to leave? You know? So.
Right.
Yeah. So I still go there. In fact, I may go there again today.
There you go.
The boss comes down and says, Anne, are you daydreaming? I said, oh, no, I'm in Anne's World. I'm good. She's like, okay, a few more minutes, you have to come back.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Just a little break. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we all need that. I mean, and that's another thing that your, you know, book reminded me of is that, you know, no matter how busy we get, and we do, we, like I said, we wear a lot of hats as women. Whatever that is, and I think we do need that space and time to allow ourselves to be in our own quote world, as you put it, you know, whatever that is for you, whether it's, you know, an imaginary place, you know, where everything is great, or if we take a walk, or if we do art, or if we write,
do something
for us ourselves.
Yeah. You're a better person for it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And is that how your book came about?
My book came about because I used to keep journals when my kids were little. I would wake up at 6 in the morning and have a cup of coffee and write in my bed with my knee propped up. And I just kept the journals over the years. And then I joined Toastmasters, and I had to give speeches. So I used my stories for my speeches, and I got really good reactions. And I said, you know, I really, maybe I have a talent. Maybe I should do something with this. So when my mentor, Jill Hazeltine, she is, like I said, she's a deliberate decision. That's her mantra. And she went around the room, it was the beginning of January, and said, what are you going to do this year? What are you going to do? What deliberate decision are you making? And I went, I'm going to write a book. And then I said, oh, crap, I said it out loud. Now I have to write the book. So I did. Yeah, and it was really a learning experience, you know, because I'm a virgin. I've never done it before, and you learn a lot. And I'm very impulsive, so sometimes that can make it difficult. I'm not one to slow down and think things through. So,
well, it's a
great book.
Thank you. It really is. It's the way that you wrote it. I got your personality. I got your family. I mean, you took me to your life, and like I said, I really enjoyed it. It's nice readable chapters, but it's like these little bits and glimpses of, you know, what was happening. Some craziness, but that's what life
is. Well, when I was doing the cover for the book, it was originally going to be called Anne's World. And then I thought, that doesn't tell anybody anything. So then I came up with, I found a woman from Blue Lobster Book Publishing, and she came up with this cover with this old woman holding the rolling pin and the wine glass spilling with a graduation cap on her head. So it looks like she's graduated from life with all the things in my life behind it, you know, the van or the station wagon my dad bought from the nuns that turned out to be my first car, and our English Mastiff and the dirty clothes and my beautiful high heels, because my husband likes sexy high heels. So she captured a little bit of everything on the cover. It was fun. It was fun to see her do that. It was like, oh, my gosh, I do feel like that old woman. She's even looks like she's wearing my old uniform blouse from high school. Yeah. But it was interesting. And I'm going to do another one now. I'm I'm going to write another one. I don't know. Yay, I know. I'm excited. Haven't gotten that far. Well, I only have a title. That's all I have. But that's a start, so we'll see.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things, I share with clients, too, is that, you know, they're like, well, I've been thinking about writing a book. I kind of want to write a book, but I have an idea.
Yeah.
And so you have to start somewhere, and it's really great to see that you made the commitment and you followed through with it. What did you find were some of your challenges for writing your book? Do you have any?
Well, see, I didn't really know where to start, and I found a writer's coach, then I wrote the book. You know, I wrote some things, I sent them over, and then I said, she was ready to publish them. I said, don't you think I need an editor? And she's like, well, if you want. And I was like, I think I need to have it edited. You know, again, I didn't know. So she recommended someone, and that person charged me $600 and put in a few commas. That's all.
Oh.
I know. So then I said, well, I'm really not thinking this is what an editor is supposed to do. I need to get somebody else. So they gave me my money back, and this time I interviewed people. And you really need to do that if you're going to write a book. Tell them you want to send them, you know, a few pages of your work, and tell them to send it back to you edited to get a feel for what they're really doing. Then once that happened, then it started to really roll after that part. But, you know, being a first-time writer is really tricky. But don't get discouraged, because you can get discouraged, but you have to stay one step, you know, just keep on going, one step at a time, and you finally get there. It's exciting.
And you made it. Yeah, well, you made some good points about, you know, taking your time, and you also, you know, hired a writer's coach, which I think is a great idea if you feel like that's something that you need. Some people do, and some people, you know, think
people
that they
know.
Can go. And it could be in the middle of the, you know, process, or when they're almost done. I've had clients do that. We're like, oh, well, I'm 80% done. I just need you to look, you know, finish it out. Because sometimes finishing it is the hardest part. As a writer myself, sometimes I have found that that sometimes can be my pickle, is that
it is,
I'm 85% done. And then I'm like, wait, but how do I, like, put it all together?
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes
it's a challenge. At the end, it's like having, like, you're pregnant and you just want this baby to happen.
To birth,
you know, and
yeah.
you're doing all this critiquing, you're changing things, and you get to the point, like, just put it out, for God's sake. And once it comes out and you have that book in your hand, it is the best feeling. It's so fun. It's like, oh,
it is.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
It's very cool. My problem is charging for the book. I want everybody to read it. So I go, like, to the hospital, and you get your mammogram. I leave copies there for people to read, because most people don't like mammograms. And I write a little note, you know, enjoy my book while you're here. You know, leave it to someone else, you know, to pass it on or whatever. But I just want people to read it and have a cup of tea and feel like they're sitting with a friend or a glass of wine, whatever, you know. So it's challenging, but I'm having fun with it, so that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yep.
The other thing that you mentioned, too, is, you know, having an editor, I think, is a good idea. And the way that you did it, you know, by interviewing, and most editors will do, similar to what you said, is that the editors that are, sometimes they have different levels of editing that they that they offer, and then they charge by that. But usually they do. Most of them that are, you know, pretty good editors will ask you for 2 to 5 pages. Sometimes they'll even go as far as a chapter, depending on how long the chapter is. So, one, they know how you're writing, and you know how they're editing.
Yeah.
So it's both of you get that benefit, and then you move forward. So I think you gave some really good points for beginning writers.
Yeah, it has to be someone you really like with and you can click with, because you're going to spend a lot of time together.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's important. It's very
important. The personnel has to be there, Well, that's fun. I mean, and I encourage, you know, there's a lot of people out there that I've met along the way who say, golly, I have a book, in mind, and I really want to write it. One of the things I do offer, too, is the writing, you know, coaching for writers. So it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I do think that, you know, depending on where you are, some writers can do it mostly by themselves, and then some need that encouragement a little bit along the way, and some of them need it a lot. And you gauge that and go for it. But don't give up. That's one of the things that coaches will help you with, is accountability.
Because you know what? When you're 80 years old in the rocking chair on your front porch, you don't want to say, oh, crap, I should have done that. you know. And
that's true.
That was one of my goals, to be 80 on the front porch and say, boy, I had a great time. I really, you know, I live life to the fullest, but I'm still a procrastinator, so I still have a ton of things on my list to do, but I'm keeping that in the back of my head, that when I'm on that rocking chair, I want to be checking them off and say, did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and writing a book was, that was a huge one for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And the blog
and with
tour.
Your,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, and your blog?
Well, I have a blog. It's called annsworld.com. And there are stories on the blog that aren't in the book. And I may put some of those in the next book, but I think the next book is going to be a little more inspirational, maybe. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. But we'll have humor in it. We have to have humor. Yeah.
Well, I think that's how you write naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that you're, you know, you have this natural innate, like, ability to put in, even talking with you, you have that storytelling innate ability, which is lovely. I admire
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
You're welcome. One of the things, a story in your book that that I can really relate to is the back-to-school story with you're in the store.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I hated back to school nights. Oh, with five kids, five different backpacks, the copybooks. My God, we had to have had 125 different kind of copybooks, different markers, different everything. And procrastinator that I am, I always waited until the night before we needed them, of course. And it was just an absolute disaster. The lunches, oh, God almighty, I don't know how I got through all those years. I don't know.
Right.
Really, you know, eat your Cheerios for when you have to start doing this because you're going to need them.
Right. It's just funny to me. I mean, like I said, when I read that, it brings me to two different spaces. One, I have one child, like I said. So going, now she's 17. So, and that's other piece that you reminded me of in your book. You were talking about your daughter or your son being car and all that stuff. But with the back to school, you remind me of that, you know, always going back to school. And actually, so she's almost done with that. But then I flipped it to when I was little, because, like I said, I was the youngest of seven.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were like, oh, back to school, I remember being in the store with my mom with, you know, four or five of us. And she's, you know, we're all going, no, I want the green one. I want the blue one. No, I want the purple one. I want this one.
Yeah.
And I thought I could just relate as, you know, thinking about my mom, you know, and then it's like, oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh, the poor woman. God love her. Well, the thing with my daughter in the car that we had so much fun with was we overheard her going to skip school the next day. And my husband heard it and he didn't say anything. And we went to work the next day and we had our own business. So he got our mechanic and they went over and they stole the car from in front of her friend's house. So she and her two friends came out ready to go to the mall and have a great day off, and there was no car, and they didn't know how to get out of it. It was so much fun. Oh, my goodness. We had them go, and they came to the shop, and they're like, oh, my gosh, someone stole the car from the school parking lot. We're like, who would go to the parking lot of the school? I'm God, did you call the principal? Let me call the principal. No, don't call the principal. Did you call the police? Oh, God, no, don't call the police. They were an absolute mess, and we had so much fun with that. He told them he found out because he was just clairvoyant. He didn't tell them he had that little squawk box that he could hear their cell phones with. I hated that box.
Oh,
I knew too much. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's so funny. That's one of the things I like about writing. And I tell people, I'm like, and hearing other people's stories, it's like, it's amazing how we can relate and how we are connected to each other, really.
That's true. We are, aren't we? Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have five kids, but it doesn't really matter. But it's interesting how we can relate to each other's stories. And sometimes by you telling me your story, I can share a little bit about mine. And we get to know each other better, which to me expands the human experience.
And that 17-year-old age, that is such a tough age because they're getting ready to leave. And I think God just makes them miserable so it's easier for us to let them go. Because when my daughter was looking at colleges, I just was like, oh, my God, just send them somewhere. Just, you know, they need to go. And then we would go on the tours of the schools, and I would cry my way all through all this, you know. I looked like this crazy woman crying my eyes out because she was just three, and we were having tea parties, and how can this be happening? I was a mess. So, yeah. But it's just that letting go. And then once they get settled in school, it's like, oh, that's all good. You know, just all the emotion that comes with it. That was so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We have to, you know, the life transitions that we go through with them. And, mm-hmm. like, she just started driving, like, 6 months ago. And so mm-hmm. that's a new adventure. She got her first job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the boyfriend?
Next year is the colleges. That's starting as well. So
oh,
that's
good.
Always an interesting little.
That's always fun, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah.
Yes. The other day she was telling me about the boyfriend. Or actually, it's not her boyfriend yet. This boy she likes, he had asked her out on a date. And I said, well, you know he's got to come and meet us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she says, Mom. That's embarrassing. And I said, well, then you can't go.
Don't do that now.
Yes. That's exactly
I know.
That's what she said. She goes, Mom, that's not. I said, what do you do in this house? Oh, Mom.
Mom, does Dad have to be there and meet him too? Oh, God, he could embarrass me. Oh, Lord.
Yes,
yeah.
That's exactly what she said. She said, well, I'll let him meet you, but Dad doesn't have to meet him. I said, oh, Dad, yes, absolutely has to meet him. Oh, no, that's not going to be good, Mom. I said, well, it has to happen. Like,
I'll never get married. Oh, that's so cute. That's sweet. I like that age. I do. I actually like all these.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's adventures at each one, isn't there? They're just.
There really is. Yes, indeed.
There's adventures at each one. And because now you're a grandmama now, so that must be a fun thing. I know my mom loves being a grandmother. That was like her,
it's the best. It really is the best. It's like all the stuff you used to worry about with yours when they were little, you don't worry about that anymore. You just, you know, you just totally enjoy them for who they are, and they are just so adorable, so funny. My 3-year-old granddaughter last year, I went to visit them in North Carolina. She was looking down my shirt, looking at my necklace, and she looked down and I said, that's my old boobs. Don't worry about it. She told everybody who came to the house that Gigi has old boobs. The mailman, we're in the supermarket. Hey, my Gigi has old boobs. And I'm like, Kaylee, enough. Not everybody needs to know about this. Like, it was a wonderful thing, you know. So I stopped telling her. I had to stop. Like, enough already.
Oh, my goodness. That is too
sweet. And the other ones aren't really talking yet. They're just saying, there's chance our pops beach. We have one who is 16 months and one 14 months. We have Arlo and Riley. My husband has taught them pops, beach. So they do this little chant, and they think that my husband owns all of St. Pete Beach. So all they want to do is go to pops, beach. And every time they say it, the arms are pumping, you know. It's just the cutest little thing. They're sweet.
Oh,
they're too far away. That's the problem, but they're sweet. Very sweet.
Yeah.
I'm blessed.
Blessed
woman.
You reminded me of something that my mom, or actually, you made me think of what my mom would do, because I thought, God, you know, we used to, as her children, get in trouble for certain things, but you just said something that made me realize. But if my daughter did it when she was little, she wouldn't get in trouble for it. The notorious one was putting her hands on the glass on the sliding door. My daughter was notorious when she was little. Like, if we did it, it'd be like, oh, go get a napkin and wipe it off. Go,
we can't wipe those fingerprints.
You know,
I still have fingerprints for mine with you. I'm like, don't touch those prints. I love them.
Yeah.
They're theirs.
And then
if
my daughter did it, okay. No, don't touch it. I'm like, okay, that's
prints.
The granddaughter.
Yeah. Well, you know, too, as mothers, we get worn out from having all those children. So that by the time they're grown, we are so tired, you can almost do anything you want. It's like, that's fine, whatever. Nothing matters anymore. It's like, you did what? That's fine. No worries. We're good with pretty much anything. Yeah. No problem.
I had such a blast talking with you, Anne. We have a little bit of over a minute left. I want you to share where people can find out about your book and give them the website and the blog URL and stuff so they can find out more about it.
Sure. Well, my blog, like I said, is annsworld.com, A-N-Z, because it's different than how you spell my name, because that's so different. And my blog is in Anne's World, so anzworld.com. My book is How I Earn My Wrinkles, Musings on Marriage, Motherhood, and Menopause, and it's on Amazon. and you can't miss it. It's the one with the old lady holding a glass of wine, spilling it, and a rolling pin in her other hand. She's beautiful. She does not look like me, though. I'm just, please. So it's available there, and, yeah, check me out.
And you said you have another book, hopefully, you know, in the works. So that's awesome, too.
I do. I think I'm going to call this one Puffs of Grace. Like little, I'm going to have, I'm going to have God's hands coming down and just shooting like little sprinkles, like little puffs.
Mm.
I was driving to work and I talked to God, and I probably wear them out with all my requests. And I just said, you know, I don't need anything. Just give me a couple little poofs of grace today. And I was like,
Aww,
oh, I like that. Yeah, so
nice.
I have a lot of poofs. So that's what I'm going to do next.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you again for being on Inspiration Nation. It was a
thank
true
you
joy.
So much. Yeah, maybe we'll see you at the next book fair.
Yes, absolutely. That would be fun.
Yeah. Okay. Or even before.
And thank you everyone for listening to Inspiration Nation again. And remember, be the inspiration that you wish to see in the world. Thanks again, Anne. Everyone have a great day and a great week.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye, everybody.
You're welcome.